This is the rookie, Matty Rivers, 2-0. Welcome to the Marvel Podcast.
Welcome into the show, Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. Cliff here, Mr. Fahrenheit, the fourth time. No big deal. Trickle on into the arena. Notice how I might be talking more and more about my championships because my team's not very good right now. But you're just going to have to deal with it. Trickle on into the arena. Come on in. A beautiful intro by our newest manager, Matty Rivers. We spent some time at the Big E together, along with Joe Chick, Sweet Chick Music. He was also in the house. What a time to be alive. Fall, Big E, football, storylines everywhere in the NFL. Week 3's in the books, but no bigger storyline than those Miami Dolphins. My goodness, 70 points. When an NFL team puts up 70, you know that the fantasy implications are wild. We know what Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane did, but I want to put it into perspective a little bit. In 2021, our boy, the fantasy community's boy, Derrick Henry, had a game. He had 41 opportunities. That is rush attempts and receptions. 41 opportunities. He had an epic game, 182 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns. He was a fantasy darling, threw in 55 receiving yards. So you're talking just one heck of a day from a fantasy guy, right? So let's go over back to those Miami Dolphin boys. The running backs, Raheem Mostert, Devon Achane, 42 opportunities. So somewhat close to Derrick Henry's 41 opportunities, except they went for 384 yards and 8 touchdowns. My goodness, these guys are so fast. It's like the world of the bruising running back might be coming to an end. I mean, the Derrick Henrys of the world, remember Brandon Jacobs with the Giants? I mean, if you need a one-yard goal line touchdown, for sure, Brandon Jacobs from the Giants, put him in. But if you're between the 20s, give me Raheem Mostert, give me Devon Achane. Unbelievable performances. I don't know the start percentage of Devon Achane. I know a lot of people had him on their bench. But, of course, I played in a league. Thank goodness I didn't play against them, though. Somebody started Devon Achane in a league. He was having running back issues. He's an Austin Eckler owner. Obviously, Eckler's been out. And instead of trading Austin Eckler for peanuts or pennies on the dollar, he went to the waiver wire. And this is the kind of stuff that could happen. Not 45, 50 fantasy points, but there is value on the waiver wire, and this gentleman started Devon Achane and reaped the benefits. I mean, what a glory play. You start a guy just and goes off for 50 fantasy points. My gosh. So that's one of the biggest storylines in the NFL. Of course, there's several more that we could go over. Guys like Keenan Allen. How about the old wide receivers that really, you know, during fantasy draft season, their draft capital just wasn't much anymore. I mean, you got Devontae Adams, who was a late second rounder. You got Keenan Allen, you know, fifth or sixth round. You got Mike Evans, sixth or seventh round. These guys are still getting it done, man. They're showing you how good an alpha wide receiver can still be and at their age. Now, they're not quite as old as Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen had himself a good game on Sunday, but I'm saying the targets are there. This isn't a fluke. I mean, you got Keenan Allen, you know, I don't want to go over too much because he's going to be in the studs category for whoever owns him. But, you know, 20 targets, 18 receptions, that's unbelievable. We know what a Puka Nacua has been doing. These alpha number one receivers are getting upwards of 15 to 20 targets a game. And for fantasy managers, it's been fun. Real fun. And it's kind of just proven the point that maybe these high-end running backs, it's still worth it as a tiebreaker to grab the receiver. That's what it's looking like to me anyway. The fact that Keenan Allen is averaging, you know, 24.9 fantasy points per game in our format, and he's, you know, the wide receiver too, at that value in the fifth, sixth round, unbelievable draft value. That's a league winner right there. So that's just a few of the storylines. The Dolphins and some of the old-time receivers getting it done still. So we want to dive right into the action. Of course, we're talking studs and duds, week three matchups, and the matchup of the week. It is now time for your matchup of the week. Who's it going to be? What? Chicken tendies. Josh taking on the Roadster. Zen Crusaders. We begin in Minnesota. Josh, 113 to 107, takes the win. Stud Justin Herbert, 405 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, and that's with Keenan Allen stealing a passing touchdown as well. Justin Herbert is the number one quarterback on the season. This is the Justin Herbert we knew could come to fruition as far as fantasy football goes. As far as your dud, hard to have a dud with 113 points, but how about Josh Kelly? He's in that A.J. Dillon role. Gross. 12 rushing yards on the day, 2 fantasy points. He was playing better when Austin Eckler was active and in the game. So in 2 games without Austin Eckler, Josh Kelly has 3.9 fantasy points and 2.2 fantasy points. Compare that to when Eckler was healthy and active playing alongside of him. He had 15 fantasy points, Josh Kelly. So very droppable alongside A.J. Dillon. And if not droppable, maybe he's in that fantasy purgatory, choice. It's tough because now Josh does have Austin Eckler on the roster. So having the handcuff is always kind of good, but not when the handcuff doesn't do much. But yeah, 113 points for Josh. Moving on to the Roadster, Zen Crusaders, 107. Close matchup here and some very high scoring players. That's why I wanted to make sure this was matchup of the week. There were other matchups in consideration, but I did have my eyes on this one. Keenan Allen, 36 fantasy points, 18 receptions for 215 yards and a passing touchdown. Unbelievable. 36 fantasy points and he didn't even have a receiving touchdown. Dude's a stud. He is the wide receiver 2 on the season. As far as your duds go, a couple options we could go with. But how about Najee Harris? Gross. 65 rushing yards, no receptions on the day. 6.5 fantasy points. Najee Harris, man, oh man, he's not looking good at all. We'll see what happens moving forward. Is Roach going to bench him? Is he going to keep starting him? Who knows? But that was this week's matchup of the week. Roach moves to 1-2 on the season. And chicken tendies without Josh. Without Nick Chubb moves to 3-0. Nice matchup, guys. All right, our next matchup. Let's go ahead and get this one out of the way. Mr. Fahrenheit taking on Greg Noonan's team. And Greg wins 106 to 90. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I want to go right to my team, and I want to go right to the dud section. And you know what? A lot of duds on my team. A lot of them. Darren Waller, 3 points. Javonte Williams, 7 points. Jahmyr Gibbs in a starting feature role, only 8 points. But Trevor Lawrence, I don't even know if I'm allowed to do this. He scored 14 points. Am I allowed to give a dud to someone that scores 14 points? I think I'm going to do it. My dud goes to Trevor Lawrence. What are we doing? Trevor Lawrence, you're the number 18 quarterback on the season. I took you, you know, sixth or seventh round. You're not doing good, that's for sure. So you add Calvin Ridley and you're worse than last year? I don't get it. I really don't. 279 yards, one touchdown, and an interception. Just mediocre at best. Obviously, they got trounced by the Houston Texans, so it already wasn't a great day. But, you know, Trevor Lawrence didn't look good last week either. So, interesting times here. Might have a quarterback controversy. I got Jared Goff just sitting on the bench, ready to roll. You might see a new starting quarterback for Mr. Fahrenheit. As far as my stud goes, this is how you execute a trade, folks. Deebo Samuel, 6 receptions on Thursday night, 129 yards and a touchdown. He was looking good, looking crispy. Threw in a couple rushing yards as well. Always gets a couple rush attempts. But I'm very happy with the trade I made with Gage. You know, Ken Walker. We looked at the trade together, and everyone had a great matchup, the 4 players that were involved with the trade. It was, if you don't remember, it was Gage's Javonte Williams and Deebo Samuel for my Kenneth Walker and Jerry Jeudy. So we exchanged Denver Broncos. We both got a running back in return, which I like to do. And Deebo went off for me, and Ken Walker went off for Gage. So happy if it helped Gage. We'll look at his matchup a little bit later, but love that the trade actually helped both teams. And that is not a dig at anyone else in this league, by the way. I'm just saying I enjoy to actually help my trade partner, and we can text each other and say, let's go, and blah, blah, blah. So a long story short, I take the L, only 90 fantasy points, and doesn't feel great. Doesn't feel great. Makes it look like I sold my soul for a championship last year, beating Alicia's epic, 15-1 team. But moving on to Robert Saleh's Hater Society. There, I said it. I said the team name, all right, Greg? I knew a text was going to be coming in eventually anyway. Why aren't you saying my team name? Greg's team puts up 106 points. Another defensive effort by Greg. As far as your stud goes, I'm going Zach Moss, man, because in our zero running back build, you really don't expect that RB2 to outscore that stud number one pick, Bijan Robinson. 21 fantasy points for Zach Moss. Man, he looks good. And against the Baltimore Ravens, I know their defense was banged up, but 122 yards and a receiving touchdown. Threw in a couple catches and 23 yards in the air. But yeah, Zach Moss looks like the guy until Jonathan Taylor comes back. Now, we expect him back week 5. He's, by all accounts, said he's ready to roll. But we'll see. It's very possible he still gets traded. It's very possible that he doesn't come back until week 8. So at least for now, Greg finds himself in a very good place for that zero RB build, and he's happy with it. As far as your dud goes, I could go many different directions here, but I am going to go Bijan. He was your number one pick, and I thought it was a good matchup against the Lions, and wasn't just Bijan, it was Tyler Algier. He did nothing. So it turns out that when Arthur Smith can't get the run game going, the Falcons have zero chance to win the game. So they lost 20-6. It's ugly football. It's what I'm dealing with the Jets. It's run the ball as many times as you can and hide your quarterback, and let's see if we can be in it for a game-winning field goal at the end of the game. And it just didn't work out against the Lions this week for the Falcons. It's setting football back 30 years. I hate it. But for Bijan Robinson, better days ahead. I'm sure he's going to get even more and more involved. And, some better game scripts are definitely ahead for him. So congratulations to Greg. You moved to 2-1 on the season. And I just got to say it. I got to take it. Mr. Fahrenheit moves to 0-3. Now, I'm in a win-win situation because I said this was going to happen. My team is very volatile, very young, and I didn't think I was going to make the playoffs. I thought maybe I could sneak in at the end, but I still think I'm safe from the Build-A-Bear Bowl, though. So we'll go over some of those other teams later, but 0-3 doesn't feel good. Congratulations to Greg. All right, before we get to our next matchup, I just wanted to say two things. Number one, it's such a pleasure to do this podcast, and whoever does listen, I know not everybody listens in the league for sure, but those that do, I really appreciate it. I just love talking about fantasy football, and again, I love talking about your fantasy football players and your teams, and that's, you know, pretty rare. There's memes all over the place that are talk about like, hey bro, nobody cares about your fantasy team. Well, again, I do. I like talking about fantasy football. I'll talk to fantasy football to anyone who will listen. As most of you know, I mean, I'm blowing the chat up with sometimes no reply. I don't care. I just love talking about it. So thank you for those that do listen. And secondly, if you want to nominate a stud or a dud, please make sure you text me, Sunday evening if you'd like. I've had people that are just so upset at players that they send me a text, make sure so-and-so is my dud. You know, they just want to hear me kind of go off on the player. So in this next matchup, it will feature somebody that wasn't officially nominated for a dud, but I did receive a text message about a certain player. So without any further ado, let's get to the next matchup. It's going to be Dixie Normus Gage taking on Ball Too Well, Taylor's version, Taylor Benoit. And Gage takes the win, 119-91. Gage moves to 2-1 on the season with 119 points. Nicely done. Again, he was my trade partner a couple days ago. I loved what we did. He needed a stud running back because he had really good wide receivers and vice versa for me. And, we look no further than Ken Walker as his stud, 29 fantasy points. He is that dude, 97 yards, 2 touchdowns on the ground. Again, Zach Charbonnet, a non-factor, and it looks like that's going to continue until, you know, we get some sort of injury, and let's hope for the best, no injuries for Ken Walker. I have him in multiple leagues. Again, I think I said this in the draft episode, my eyes did not deceive me. What we saw last year from Ken Walker is the truth. He's a workhorse running back. And this week he gave you more of that efficiency that we were looking for alongside the touchdown. So 29 fantasy points there. As far as your dud goes, it's got to be the running backs, A.J. Dillon, Breece Hall. And I'm looking more towards A.J. Dillon. One of these running backs had to face a Bill Belichick offense with Zach Wilson as his quarterback. So Breece Hall, no, you don't get a pass because where you were drafted in fantasy drafts. But A.J. Dillon, this is, I had a conversation with Gage about, what's the excuse, man? I get it. New Orleans, tough defense. But we roster, not me, but fantasy community has rostered A.J. Dillon for years now, hoping and praying. This is all I've heard about. Man, if Aaron Jones goes down, we got a league winner. Well, guess what? The last 2 weeks, Aaron Jones was down. And what did he do? 3 fantasy points this week, 6 fantasy points last week. He's just not that dude, man. I don't care, how big his thighs are, thunder thighs. He's just not that dude. He actually did better when Jones was in the game playing alongside of him as that spell running back. So, I know it's hard to say this because you never know, I guess. But A.J. Dillon's definitely droppable because the absolute best case scenario happened. Aaron Jones went down, had the whole backfield to himself, and A.J. Dillon gets you 3 fantasy points. So I think this is, I've talked about this in the past. He's a purgatory player, man. You can't drop him. You can't start him. You can't trade him. What are you going to get for A.J. Dillon? So what he's going to do is rot a hole on your bench. And that's most likely what's going to happen here for A.J. Dillon. But Gage gets the win. Moving on to Taylor's team. This is the one She didn't specifically ask for it, but I know the feeling. Her dud is going to be Josh Reynolds. This is just what happens when a middling wide receiver two, maybe wide receiver three on an NFL team has two good weeks. You put a little bit of trust in him. You go ahead and throw him right in your starting lineup. And I don't blame her, by the way. I would have done the same thing. And what does he do? He gooses her 0 for 0, 0 fantasy points. Not even a target, folks. That's the concerning thing. So I don't care that he had 66 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns the previous week against Seattle. Seattle looks like one of the worst, you know, secondaries in the league. A great matchup for wide receivers. You can bank more of those stats on the matchup. I don't know how you can trust Josh Reynolds if this is going to be his floor. 0 points is his floor. Not good. Even Drake London has a higher floor than this guy. I know Drake London had, I believe, a 0 point game as well. But at least he's the primary number one target on an NFL team. So I feel your pain, Taylor. 0 points, not great. As far as your stud goes, I mean, you did have some studly performances. And we'll look to Alexander Mattison, I guess. 15 fantasy points. It's funny because in the chat, I think it was first or second quarter, I had wrote down, you know, Alexander Mattison sucks. Basically, he's doing everything possible to not be the starting running back for the Vikings, because at one point he had a wide open touchdown reception that he just like not only dropped the ball, but then he like fumbled over his feet. It was just the weirdest thing. And then he ended up fumbling to get the ball back. But I think this is a stud performance from Alexander Mattison. First of all, 93 rushing yards on the ground alongside 5 receptions for 32 yards, because we know Cam Akers is going to be nipping at the heels of Mattison. And if he didn't put up a game like this somewhat soon, Akers is in the building and he's going to be getting some touches. I think this is going to be very close to the same split that we're going to see from Jerome Ford and Kareem Hunt. And both Jerome Ford and Mattison are going to be on short leashes. There's not a ton invested in these guys. So, you know, the first slip up, you know, first couple games that they aren't efficient, don't look great, you can look to, you know, Hunt and Akers to possibly take over or at least split 50-50. So Mattison, I believe, holds on to his job for now. No reason to go away from him if I'm the Vikings at this point. This is the reason why you got rid of Dalvin Cooks, because you could get games like this from Alexander Mattison. So that's why he's going to be your stud this week, because I think you can still play him with confidence until further notice. But it's a short leash, so be on the lookout for that. So with that said, Gage moves to 2-1 on the season alongside Taylor, who is also 2-1 this season after the loss. Nice matchup. All right, our next matchup is going to be Unleash the Beast, Alicia, versus the Pillar of Fire, Tom. And Tom takes the win in dramatic fashion, 124-87. Maybe not so dramatic, kind of a beatdown here. Let's take a look at Tom's team, the winner of the matchup. As far as your stud goes, doing this as a tribute, it's going to be Mike Williams from the Chargers, 21 fantasy points, 7 for 121 and a touchdown before he exited the game on Sunday. Looks like a torn ACL, out for the season for Mr. Mike Williams. We do salute you, and you can hold your head high that you were on the studs episode for Tom's team. RIP Mike Williams. He'll be back next year. It looks like they predict he'll be back and ready for training camp next season. So, Roach, so sorry, buddy. At least you got the win as far as the Chargers go. So, again, looking at Tom's team, as far as your dud goes, Ramondre Stevenson, tough matchup against the Jets, you know, front line, 6 fantasy points. The problem isn't just the matchup, though. Zeke, Zeke Elliott kind of getting a little bit of extra work in there and looked good doing it. While I was watching the game with a disgusted look on my face, again, football was set back 30 years during that matchup versus Jets-Patriots. You know, anytime the Patriots needed a big run, it seemed like Zeke was the one getting 7-8 yards and getting those first downs. So I still think Ramondre is going to be a great draft pick and will pay off eventually, because in a game maybe not in the rain against such a good D-line in the New York Jets, I think Ramondre is still going to be heavily involved in the passing game. And all that work is going to go to Ramondre. And as we know, a target, especially for running backs, is, you know, about two times more valuable than a rush attempt. And Zeke's rush attempts usually are even worse. So, you know, they're the third and ones, you know, go get me a first down rush attempt. You know, I guess you could say goal line sometimes, but Ramondre, better days ahead for him. I think this is just a blip, tough matchups. So we'll see what's going on moving forward with him. But congratulations on the win, Tom. Moving over to Alicia. I mean, duds all over the place, but some of the people you were starting, I can't even call them duds because, you know, expectations were so low. Guys like Craig Reynolds, Jaden Reed, Tony Jones Jr., these, you know, Nelson Aguilar, we didn't expect much from them, so it's hard to give them any type of dud. I'll give it to Hunter Henry. Got a little banged up against the Jets, but he played most of the snaps. He was splitting with Gesicki, of course. Gesicki ended up with the better game here for the Patriots for the first time this season. But Hunter Henry, only 2 receptions, 17 yards, 2 fantasy points. So not great. And, you know, the Jets were giving up a little bit to the tight end. So maybe concerning, a small red flag for Hunter Henry owners. I know I have him in 3 leagues, so I'm going to be keeping a close eye on if he did get banged up. I liked how the Patriots were utilizing him as that, you know, second target downfield. Hunter Henry's just a good pass catcher, good tight end, and you know, it's annoying that Gesicki's even around to take any of these targets, but Gesicki also, he could get it done in the right scenario. He probably is a little bit more athletic than Hunter Henry, but we'll see what happens moving forward with Hunter Henry. Just a bad week for him. Henry remains the tight end 3 on the season, so overall, he's doing very well for fantasy football. As far as your stud goes, it'll go to Lamar Jackson. 202 yards through the air, but you're adding in 100 yards rushing and 2 rushing touchdowns, so that's going to be good for 28 fantasy points. So thank goodness you had him, you know, just to get you some points, because you, as you know, you can put me in there, I guess, as well. But as of right now, Alicia and myself are in the Build-A-Bear Bowl along with another owner we'll talk about later. So scoring points will be everything if we're going to be having these low win totals on the season. Scoring points is very important, and Lamar Jackson helped you out there. So Alicia moves to 0-3 on the season in Pillar of Fire. Gets off the schneid a little bit, gets his first win, a little bit of breathing room, 1-2 on the year. Nice job. All right, our next matchup was a shootout, and it was in consideration for matchup of the week. It's going to be In the Hunt, Elliot taking on Sweet Chick Music, Joe Chick, and In the Hunt takes the win, 138-112. Nice matchup here, boys. Let's go ahead and dive into Elliott's team. In a week where Tyreek Hill goes for 9 receptions and 157 yards and a touchdown, 26 fantasy points, he is not your stud, not even close. How about Davante Adams, 13 receptions, 172 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Man, like I said in the intro, I'm just loving this for fantasy football and regular football purposes. If you have an alpha number one receiver and not that many other options, hyper-target them. Good things will happen. First downs, scoring opportunities. I mean, the Raiders don't have much going on for them right now. The least they can do is just keep continuing to hyper-target Davante Adams. And well, what a surprise. Through 3 weeks, why did we ever doubt him? He's the wide receiver 4 on the season. No big deal. Right where he always has been. Davante Adams, multiple quarterbacks now, has gotten it done, and he's probably going to have a chance at a fourth quarterback next week. It looks like Jimmy Garoppolo is in the concussion protocol. So, we might have a Brian Hoyer to Davante Adams day. And if he does anything else besides pepper Davante Adams with targets, he's going to be in the wrong. So continue to target these guys. And as far as your dud goes, I mean, you had an epic week here. There's not much to choose from as far as duds go. I'll go Mark Andrews, though. Very disappointing right now. The Ravens' new offense, supposed to be faster, more efficient, you know, an aerial assault, if you will, compared to the run of old days. But Mark Andrews, 4 receptions, 35 yards, 5 fantasy points. So far, I know he was banged up to start the year, but he's not really getting it done right now for fantasy football. He is the tight end 11 on the season, and maybe patience will be a virtue when it comes to him. But I know we expected more from such a high draft capital pick, you know, a third round pick in fantasy drafts. Moving on to Sweet Chick Music, 112 points is a great week. You know, we had our eyes on this matchup. Elliott's Sunday night guys really, you know, brought it home for him in Davante Adams and George Pickens. And then, you know, Mixon kind of put it over the top last night. But as far as your studs go, it's good to see Ja'Marr Chase back. I know it didn't do much for you last night in Monday Night Football. The matchup was kind of already out of hand. But, 12 receptions, 141 yards, 20 fantasy points. Once again, these alpha receivers just get, that's just the way of life right now for fantasy football. Just these guys getting targeted, and it's like a theme. 12 receptions, 141 yards, looking great. Ja'Marr Chase, for Joe Burrow to get out of his funk, why not just keep peppering Chase with targets? T. Higgins had a terrible game, a couple drops and exited the game. I don't know what his injury was, but that just opened it up for Chase. As far as your duds go, you really didn't have anybody that crushed you, but it was kind of disappointing to see the Houston Texans score 37 points and Nico Collins only 4 fantasy points. 2 receptions, 34 yards. He's still having just a phenomenal season. He's the wide receiver 17, even with this dud performance on the year. But Tank Dell, man, Tank Dell's right there with him, and it kind of remains to be seen who the number one is there. There's a chance that in this small sample size of 3 games that Tank Dell ends up coming out as the number one guy. Maybe it's more of a 1A, 1B type thing, but, you know, Nico Collins is a taller, go-get-it type of wide receiver, while Tank Dell is just a burner. So it's weird for the burner to be the number one alpha. But maybe it's a situational thing. If you got a good matchup and you got the burner, you throw it to Tank Dell, who's having just a phenomenal season himself. So as far as your dud goes, again, Nico Collins would be it if I had to pick one. But 112 points is great for Joe Chick. Even in a loss, he moves to 1-2 on the season. And well, in the hunt, probably my number one team heading into the fantasy season, starts 3-0. And last but not least, the Teddy Bears. Maddie taking on Yeater Skeeters. Jason, this one wasn't close, folks. Maddie takes the win 140-90. Let's take a look at the team. My goodness, the Teddy Bears putting up big numbers, and it's no fluke. His bench is going off at the same time, making the right start sits. If you had told me at the beginning of the year Week 3 was going to come around, Maddie, Derrick Henry is going to get you 2 points week 3. Your third round pick, Justin Fields, is like only going to get you 10 fantasy points. There's no way you're going to
try to tell me that Matty puts up 140 with those two situations. His second and third round pick combining for 12 fantasy points. But here's what happened. He was smart enough to bench Justin Fields for Kirk Cousins, who puts up 25 fantasy points. Derrick Henry not looking great in the loss for the Titans against the Cleveland Browns. Only 2 fantasy points, but who cares? Because he has Raheem Mostert. My goodness. That's going to be your stud, Raheem Mostert, like we talked about at the top of the show. My goodness, 82 rushing yards, 4 total touchdowns, 41 fantasy points. Wasn't even the best player on his team for the Dolphins. Just an unreal week. Every other player just looking absolutely studly. Guys, just even like Jacoby Myers in his double flex position, 7 receptions, 85 yards, 12 points. I mean, what else are we expecting from Jacoby Myers? That's a beautiful baseline score of 12 points that I can't even get from my number one pick in Garrett Wilson. So the Teddy Bears are a team to be reckoned with. No chance of Maddie being in the actual Build-A-Bear Bowl. He's going to be in contention for a title. He's up there with Elliott. Right now, you know, maybe I'll do an extra show after week 4 is in the books, talking about standings and where we are as a league. But there's a collision course that seems to be happening, only 3 weeks in, very early, but there seems to be a collision course right now between Elliott and Matty. We'll leave it at that. We'll see what happens, if it's sustainable. I am a little concerned about Elliott's bench. If you take a look at that, his starters are elite, but Maddie's bench looking good. Guys like DeAndre Swift, 130 rushing yards on your bench that you could throw in at any given time. So enough about his team. Moving on to Yeter Skeeters, part of a 2023 trade-a-palooza last week. I said my piece on it. Not a vetoable trade by any means. We still got to see what happens. Who knows? Maybe Eckler doesn't even come back for weeks. So, you know, maybe it helps Jason somehow. Again, I just didn't see how it helped also giving up DK Metcalf, a startable, you know, alpha wide receiver who we just had an entire show full of alpha wide receivers winning you fantasy weeks, and he kind of gives one up in that trade. But nonetheless, was smart enough to start Tua, you know, as his quarterback from that trade. 309 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, good for 28 fantasy points. So you're looking at Tua as the quarterback 3 on the season so far. I knew he was going to be of value in drafts. Not tooting my own horn at all, but I have a lot of Tua in leagues just because of how late he was being drafted in a keeper league. I took him in the 14th round. I had Patrick Mahomes in that league, and I thought it was almost silly that he was just sitting there. He's an MVP candidate from week 1. I mean, before the season even started, with weapons like the Dolphins have, Tua doesn't need to do much to look this good. So 28 fantasy points there. Duds all around for you, but this is an Alicia situation where, like, we're not expecting a lot from a Kareem Hunt on his first game, you know, on short notice with the Browns. We're not expecting a lot from Tyler Boyd, even though T. Higgins was removed from the game. We weren't expecting a lot from Devontae Parker against the New York Jets. These are tough starts. I don't know what the thought process was on this. Dalton Schultz, though, we're going to give it to him because you traded for Kyle Pitts as part of that big package that you got for Eckler, and you didn't even start him. So just, again, such a weird scenario. Why trade for Kyle Pitts if you're not going to start him? You start Dalton Schultz, 1.4 fantasy points. And, you know, for what it's worth, the upside of Pitts is still much better than what Dalton Schultz has been giving through 3 weeks. So just a weird scenario there for that trade and not starting all the pieces you got in return for your number one draft pick in Austin Eckler. But nonetheless, 90 points, that's respectable. You know, with this roster you started, very respectable. Thanks to Tua. Tutu Atwell helped out last night in a late touchdown for the Rams. 4 receptions, 50 yards and a touchdown. Tutu Atwell looks great. See what happens when Cooper Kupp does return, if he can sustain some of that downfield stuff, which I think he can. I think he's just going to inherit the Van Jefferson role. You know, keep that role over Van Jefferson when Kupp comes back. So Yeter Skeeters, 0-3, definitely in the Build-A-Bear Bowl. you know, we'll see if he can kind of climb out of this. And Teddy Bears, 3-0, putting up massive points. Matty Rivers, just an epic performance through 3 weeks. We'll see if he can sustain it and possibly go for fantasy championship gold. Thanks again for listening to the Week 3 Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast, everybody. It's been fun. I don't care that I'm 0-3. I know I keep mentioning it. Sorry, the show's not about me. But sometimes I just gotta lash out. I gotta get it out of my system. And it was really good to do this show and talk about your teams. I'm still in it, 0-3. Been here before, as you all know. We'll see what happens. But I'm still having fun with fantasy football. Been a very fun year so far. Hope you're enjoying the episodes. Again, if you want to nominate a stud or a dud, hit me up Sunday evening during those Sunday night games. Just in case, I do some recordings on Monday. But most of the recording is done early bird Tuesday morning. So if you want me to lash out at a couple of your players, mostly on the dud list, I will do that for you. Have yourself a good week and good luck week 4. We'll see you later.